Greetings, this is Dr. William R. Glaze, the teacher and preacher here at the Anchoring in Jesus radio program. I'm coming to you with a special educational opportunity here at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, where fall classes are about to begin. On Monday evenings, we have Defending the Christian Faith, American Sign Language, and Financial Peace University being offered. On Tuesday evenings, we have our flagship Biblical Counseling program that is being offered. And on Thursday evenings, we have a new class, God's Viewpoint, Responding to the Gender and Sexuality in Our Culture. So why don't you give us a call at 412-242-3255 to find out more information about how you can enroll in one of these classes at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude part one of Listening to God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of part one of Listening to God.
Why? Because I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So instead of him looking at God, he was looking at wicked folks. And he was looking at the fact that they were prospering. He was looking at the fact that they were getting over. He was looking at the fact that they were sitting back like fat cats doing wrong. And he had a problem. And only when he changed dials was he able to hear from God. See, as long as he focused on the wicked, he couldn't hear God. As long as he allowed these things to crowd his mind, his thoughts, his attention, he could not hear God. But look at Psalm 73 in verse 16. He said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. When I saw how the wicked were prospering and I saw how that they were getting over, he said, it was too painful for me. He says in verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, until I fine-tuned my focus, until I put my dial back on God's channel, then I understood therein. And then in the next verses, God goes on to speak to him. And now he's ready to listen. You know why he didn't hear the message before? He wasn't ready to listen. He was an unfocused listener. And God, it wasn't that God was speaking. It's just that he had to get himself to the place where he could hear. You know, I've said this on many occasions. You might want to write this down. Yeah, when I die, maybe this might be one of the quotes that you'll say. You know, Pastor Glaze always used to say, don't be at the airport when your ship comes in. Don't be at the airport when your ship comes in, all right? Get on God's channel. Don't be unfocused. Don't have a bunch of static. God is speaking, and maybe, you know how it is when you range the dial on your radio and you're getting close to the station and it's faint, and then you kick it another notch and it gets a little clear, and you kick it another notch and, right, boom, it's clear. You can hear it. See, the problem is that we are kind of flirting around the dial. Right, we picking up a bunch of static. It's not that the signal, the radio station is sending out the signal. There's no question about that. The signal is being sent. You just haven't fine-tuned your focus to be able to hear it. And so if you really want to hear God, don't be an unfocused listener. The next person we see is what I call the uncertain listener. The uncertain listener. Well, who is this? This is the person who listens and hears, but they have not heard. They listen, they hear, but they have not heard. God said something, but they really didn't hear what he said. God had a message for them. God had a word for them, but they don't know what thus saith the Lord. They know God said something, but they just don't know what it was. There's an interesting story about President Franklin D. Roosevelt. He was wondering because he greeted so many people. You know, he would stand in the White House or he would stand in other places and he would greet people, you know, hundreds, thousands of people. He would just greet them. And he would, you know, say something to them, and he wondered if they were really listening to what he had to say. So on one occasion, he wanted to find out. He said, I'm going to say something a little different. So people came up to him, and he said, I murdered my grandmother this morning. And people came up, shook his hand. He said, I murdered my grandmother this morning. Somebody said, oh, how lovely. He said, I murdered my grandmother this morning. Somebody said, just keep up with the great work. And there was one diplomat who came up, and he said, I murdered my grandmother this morning. And evidently, this guy heard what he said, and he said, well, I'm sure she had it coming to her. The uncertain listener. Now, all those people came up. He had been telling them that he murdered his grandmother, right? They knew he said something, but they didn't know what he said. And would to God that we wouldn't be like that. Would to God that we wouldn't be an individual that say, well, I know God said something. I know God has a word for me, but I'm not sure what he said. See, that's why you want to be here next week. If you're not going to be here, get the CD, because I'm going to talk to biblical principles on how to hear what God says, how to identify exactly what it is that God says. The uncertain listener. And then finally, we see that there is the undisciplined listener. The undisciplined listener. And this is the individual that has a hard time hearing the voice of God. You know why? Because he hasn't trained his ear to hear God's voice. See, look at this. Watch this. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. The sheep will respond to the voice of the shepherd. And why do they respond to the voice of the shepherd? Because they train their ear to hear his voice. They heard the voice of the shepherd over and over and over again. So now whenever the shepherd speaks, immediately, they recognize whose voice it is. There's no, well, you know, who is that talking? Who is you? None of that. The sheep recognize right away the shepherd. Why? Because they have been trained. They have disciplined their heart, their mind, to listen. And when I think about God's people, why is it that we have such a hard time listening and hearing his voice? Because we have not trained himself. You know, this message that I'm preaching right now, I guarantee you that there's a lot of people in here who have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about. I mean, this message is just foreign to them. They don't have the first concept of what it means to listen to God and hear his voice. And one of the reasons, because you haven't trained yourself. That, you know, it's said, again, I've never worked in a bank, but and things might have changed. But at one point, they said when you worked in the bank, the way that they taught you to recognize the real money is they let you know what the false money felt like. And then you were able to recognize the real when it was there. And I'm here to say that when we become familiar and we hear the voice of God, that we'll recognize when it's not his voice. That we'll know when the real is not there. You know, there's a verse in 1 Corinthians. I wish I'd have looked it up. I think it's in 1 Corinthians 14. But you know what it says? And I know some of you who have those smartphones, you'll probably be able to just pull it up right away. But it says, there are many voices in the world. Many voices in the world. Wall Street, every day you turn on your TV, there's a voice of Wall Street. There's a voice of your coworkers. There's a voice of your friends. There's a voice of your... There are many voices in the world. But there's only one voice One voice that should count. And if we don't know how to recognize it, I'll tell you one thing. I would recognize my wife's voice anywhere. Anywhere. Phone, upstairs, I would recognize her voice, and I'm sure she would recognize my voice anywhere. I told you this story a couple weeks ago, right? I go to restaurants, and I'm sitting there. I don't know how many times, you ask my wife, how many times people, are you Pastor Glaze? I know that voice anywhere. See, saints, we got to be able to recognize the voice of God like that. Amen. And that when God is speaking, that we have disciplined our mind. We have disciplined ourselves to be able to hear the voice of God. How do you posture yourself to listen to the voice of God? How do you posture yourself? Three things today, and I'm finished. The first thing is that you have to have an expectant spirit. You have to have an expectant spirit. Turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Look at verse 8. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again, the third time. And he arose and went to Eli, and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. Look at this. Watch this. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. And Eli said unto Samuel, go and lie down. And I'm putting it in the Glaze translation, right? And you can expect him to call you again. All right? Now it says if he call you again. But basically, Eli knew that he was going to call him again. So that if is a presumptuous if. It means that he will. Just go ahead and lay down because he's going to call you again. So what was he telling Samuel? He was telling Samuel that you need to expect to hear from God. And when you go to the Lord, you need to expect to hear from him. Sometimes you might not get exactly what you want. Sometimes you might have to tarry a little while longer than others, and sometimes it might be, you know, a process that you have to go through. But if God has something to tell, what kind of God would have a message for you and play hide and seek and make you have to jump through all kind of hoops to hear the message? What kind of God would that be? God is not like that. If God got something to say to you, he's going to say it. And we need to expect him. And again, we can go back to the message I preached a couple weeks ago from Psalm 15, qualifications for intimacy with God. You might need to go back and get that message, because maybe one of the reasons that you're not hearing is because you need to read that psalm or get that message on Psalm 15. There's certain qualifications that has to be true in your life to be intimate with God. And he lays that out. But what kind of God, if you have sought him, if you have done the things that he has asked you to do, what kind of God would not have a word for you? And this message that God had for Samuel was of the utmost importance. And God has a message for us. And we need to hear what it is, what the Lord is saying. And we need to expect that the Lord has a message, has a word for us. You know, I'm always reminded of one time there was a bird nest outside my bedroom window. And there was a robin. And I started to knock the nest off of there, but something said, no, don't do that. So I didn't do it. So all animal lovers, you can send me a positive email, right? Thank you. And every morning that robin would come and sit on there. And one morning, I woke up and I heard all this chirping outside my window. And I stood up and I looked, and there were little baby birds, skin. I mean, all they were just skin and yellow lips and, you know, all that stuff. And they were sitting there, and guess what they were doing? They were chirping for a little while, but when the mother was coming, they were waiting with their mouth open. Why? Because they were expecting the mother to bring something back. They were expecting a worm or something to come back. And they sat there. They had a what? They had an expectant spirit. And if we are going to hear from God, if we're going to listen to God, then we have to have an expectant spirit. We got to come expecting that he's going to say something to us. We got to come expecting that he's going to talk to us about our situation. We got to come expecting that he, you know, I tell you what, and I've shared this before, but when I was going through my time of sickness, the greatest thing that I did was keep a diary and journal that whole experience. And I journaled that, and every morning I was taking stuff to God. And God, you know, sometimes it wasn't like I thought it would be, but every time I walked away there with a word from God. You know, it might not have been the word that I wanted to hear, but it was a word. And God just, you know, he just sustained me every day, just going to him and talking to him and walking away from my quiet time with something. There was I didn't walk away one time and did not have anything. I might have had some questions still about why I was struggling and why I was dealing, but every day when I came to God, he gave me a word to sustain me and to take me through. And so we have to come. If we're going to listen, we got to have an expectant spirit. The second thing, we have to have a still spirit or a still posture. Look what he says to Samuel. He says in verse 9, therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord. What did he tell him? Now, we talked about this at length last week, stillness. But again, if we're going to hear God, we got to be still. And I'm not talking about, you know, not moving or not having, I'm just saying we got to still our hearts. We got to still our mind. We got to calm everything around us and remove the distractions and don't let anything interfere with us hearing from the voice of the Lord. I was reading an article, I believe it was in the Daily Bread, and the title of the article was Slowing Down to Catch Up. Slowing Down to Catch Up. And it said this. It said if two satellites, and it gives this example about space flight, if two satellites or spacecrafts desire to rendezvous, the one that is making the approach cannot accelerate, but it must decelerate. If it increases its speed, the craft goes to a higher orbit, but if it decreases its speed, it will drop lower and the craft ahead of it will slowly move ahead. The article goes on to say, these rendezvous are designed that the approaching aircraft, which is coming from a higher altitude, that it actually decelerates and it falls behind the one that it's trying to rendezvous with. And so in order for it to hook up, it has to fall behind. And so the title of the article, Slowing Down to Catch Up. And you know, the problem with many of us is that we done ran ahead of God's voice. That God is speaking, and we just ran so far ahead that, you know, we can't hear it because we're way out here. And God says, you know, we're way out here. God is back there, and God is saying, slow down, slow down, slow down to catch up. But we go. We go and we don't take the time to even consider the fact that God might have something to say to us, that he might want to speak to our heart, and we just get busy with a bunch of activities. You know, the greatest enemy to the voice of God is busyness. Just getting busy, because then you're so busy, you got so many other voices coming at you, you can't hear. And somebody said this, busy B-U-S-Y. I'm sure you heard it before. Being under Satan's yoke. Being under Satan's yoke. See, that's the greatest enemy to hearing the voice of God, is busyness and activity and moving. He said, you got to be still. He told Samuel, go lay down so that you can hear the voice of God. And then finally, we see that there was a receptive posture, an expectant posture, a still posture, and a receptive posture. Look what he says again in verse 9. Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be if he call thee that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. He had a receptive spirit. He said, Lord, speak. I'm ready to receive whatever it is that you have. I not only have an expectant spirit, I expect for you to say something. I not only have a still spirit, I've stilled myself, but I have a receptive spirit. Lord, whatever you say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Is that your attitude when you come to your quiet times? Are you saying in your spirit, Lord, speak to me? Whether I'm reading my Bible, whether I have a devotional book by Charles Stanley, whether I have a daily bread, whatever the case might be, whenever I come to my quiet times in the Lord, am I asking, Lord, speak to me? Because I'm ready to receive it. There was a man in the church. Every Sunday he would walk out, he would tell the pastor, Pastor, you sure told him today. Every Sunday, you sure told him today. And the pastor was a little disturbed because he thought that some of the things that he was preaching, he knew that this individual, you know, was guilty of, and he thought that, you know, some of this stuff should have been hitting him. But every Sunday, he came out, he said, Preacher, you sure told him today. One Sunday, there was a snowstorm. And only one person showed up. And it was, Brother, you sure told him today, Preacher. And the pastor had a message that he had been holding back just for this guy. He was trying to pray and ask the Lord when to preach this message. And so this was that day. So the pastor pulled out this message for this guy. He preached that message. Hit everything about what this guy was dealing with. And got finished with the sermon, stood at the back. The guy came as he was walking out. He said, Preacher, if they would have been here today, you sure would have told me. This guy, he didn't have a receptive spirit. He wasn't in a receiving mode. You know, and there's a whole lot of people like that too. Come on now, come on, somebody help me. There's a whole lot of people like that. You know, this guy in this story is funny, right? But there's a whole lot of people that they don't have a receptive spirit. But when we come before the Lord, we have to have a receptive spirit. We can't say that this is for other people and this is for somebody else. It's not my mother, not my father, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer, listening to God.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of part two of Listening to God. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, part one of Listening to God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Listening to God, part one. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Listening to God, part one. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Dr. Glaze has authored a book titled In the Garden with the Father, which can deepen your study of the pursuit of intimacy with God. You can order In the Garden with the Father by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or by calling 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.